So today we are on the destructiveness of false teaching. And I believe we finished 4 and we are on 5. And I know that we have 22 to go. I mean, no, we got what, 18 to go. And I really thought, I'll be done with this, no problem. See what happens when I think. As we look at this, guys, we have to understand that the false teaching is everywhere around us. And it's increasing. And it's almost increasing daily. As I have discussing this, obviously, I'm looking, and it just seems like more and more show up each day of false teachers. And I put a thing on Facebook the other day, and I don't do it often. But when I do, I make it count. And so anyway, I put something up there on Facebook that talks about, if your pastor says, diversity, equity, or inclusivity, you need to find a new church. And like 50 people loved or liked it, whatever. And then of course I always have one. There's always one that really rose up against me with this and then tried to use it against me as if I was being hateful or something. And to which I responded with scripture. And as I look at what's going on, and it's a pastor of a church, and it's a large church, and As I look at this, guys, the importance of understanding false teaching is massive. It's massive. And I'm not trying to run false teaching into the ground, but it is so predominant in our society right now, and in our faces, and churches are accommodating the world, and therefore they're becoming a false teacher as well. And we have to be so cautious of that to understand. And I've said it before, I'm going to say it again. Guys, just because I'm pointing out what the scriptures say about false teachers, and there happens to be someone you like that falls in that category, don't get mad at me. Run from the false teacher, right? That's what the scriptures are about, to teach us understanding so we get this. So at any rate, let's just cover real quick. Number one, I'm not re-preaching anything, I promise. Number one, they'll secretly bring in destructive heresies. Ever so slightly, they bring it in. You know, so this morning we have membership class, and someone asked me, why are there so many different Bible versions? And they were like, this may not be a good question. And I thought, are you kidding me? This is a wonderful question, because why are there so many different Bible versions? And why do I say, hey, stick with these ones and you'll be safe? Well, there's two reasons. One is because they know that the Bible is the number one sold book every year. And so put out a new Bible version and it makes what? Money. That's pretty simple. Number two, Satan is all about distorting the word of God so that he can lead people astray or confuse them scripturally, doctrinally. I mean, we're talking major doctrines, and confuse them doctrinally, right? And what is that? That's secretly bringing in destructive heresies. And I can point out numerous versions of the Bible that people have put out that is just not biblically accurate. You know, the NIV, especially the new NIV, if you have that, use it to start a fire. No joke. Because you know what they did? They took out the virgin birth. Mary had her firstborn son. Well, everyone that has had a boy, that was your, and they were your first. You've had a firstborn son. Has nothing to do with the virgin birth. Right? What did we just do? Man, we just really watered down the gospel, didn't we? Because the virgin birth is what makes everything amazing and of God. And but it's that secretly, those little things. And I can go into more, but I won't. If you have the street version of the Bible, how many have the street version of the Bible? It's very good because it's like, yo, bro came over to my crib last night referencing Jesus. What'd we just do? And people are like, oh, we're just reaching them where they're at. Well, instead, how about this? How about taking righteousness and holiness and don't bring Jesus down to bro? You see what I'm saying? And why don't we lift people up instead of putting out destructive heresies that make people feel comfortable? Jesus didn't make people feel comfortable. Destructive heresies is secretly is so smooth. Number two. Well, if I did this with everyone, we'd have been done by now. Right? Amen? Someone say amen. All right. There you go. Number two, they'll even deny the Lord. Now, here's what they do. They use Jesus as the launch pad, but they really don't believe he is all he says he is and can do all he says he does. And so they deny the power and the completeness, the fullness of the Lord. Number three, they will exploit you with deceptive words. Boy, this is what I just got into, right? Because then this pastor friend of mine says, I use that word really loosely, says diversity. Every church is diverse. You're right. Everybody in here, man, we are a diverse group of people, amen? But we know that's not what it's talking about. Is bringing in another lifestyle, is bringing the world in and allowing the world to have to participate in the holiness of God's church. We can't have that. And so they're changing definitions constantly. We can't have that, guys. We can't have it. And you have to understand the vocabulary of the world to understand where they stand. Amen. And we got to be different. And so we have to be real careful. I don't know about you, but have you noticed how many definitions of words they have changed? False teaching, right? Number four, they walk according to their flesh in the lust of uncleanness. We talked about this last week. Man, these pastors that are getting caught now in homosexuality, they're getting caught in hotels, they're getting caught. The one pastor was of a mega church. He was he got so stoned on crack or cocaine, and then he posted a video of him in a hotel room with a lady. Look at me. You gotta be stoned to be doing something like that, right? It's that lust of the flesh of uncleanness. Number five, here's where we're at today. They despise authority. I'll point out to some and others will point out to some and it's like, hey, you can't do that. Why? Well, the Word of God says, you can't judge me. Isn't that the response we get? You can't judge me. Well, wait a minute. I can because our authority is the Word of God. And if you reject that, you have a massive problem. Amen. Look here in Jude 8. In Jude 8, just for so you guys know, it's just one chapter. Jude 8. Likewise, also these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries. And that speak evil of dignitaries is of angels, of those in authority. And you know, the problem that we have, of course, is sin, and this is resistance to submit to God. And people are doing this constantly. And then, of course, in Exodus 20. Verse 3 says this. Did I give you that one? All right, don't worry about it. Exodus 23 tells us, you shall have no other gods before me. And so we can't speak evil of dignitaries. We have to keep Christ as our main authority. And of course, they despise the authority of God and refuse to live under the lordship of Jesus Christ. This is what happens. And we see it constantly because if these false teachers really loved Jesus, they wouldn't preach contrary to scripture. Amen. They wouldn't tell you don't need the Old Testament. They wouldn't tell you. Listen, Rick Warren made this statement, and I'll never forget it because it was so absurd and contrary to scripture. And by the way, Rick Warren used to be the pastor of Saddleback Church in California. He has since turned it over to someone else, and he has ordained 3 women pastors. Totally contrary to scripture. Totally, right? But he said this. He said, pastors have deceived themselves. Pastors have had, oh man, that's a high five right in the nostril. Pastors have deceived themselves to believe that their preaching makes a difference in someone else's life. That's what he said. But yet the word of God says, how shall they hear the truth and change their life except for someone preach? And so we see he is totally contrary to scripture. What's he doing? He's rejecting the authority or the word of God. Number 6, look how fast we're going, guys. I thought today, man, we're just going to kind of dig in and run. Amen. Number 6, they're presumptuous. And of course, presumptuous means audacious, arrogant, rash, or daring in a negative sense. They're presumptuous. And we see this all throughout. Listen, if you watch any TV evangelists, right? They're so arrogant to get up there and say, if you don't give me $1,000, you're going to be cursed. Really? If you leave my church, you're going to be cursed because you're leaving the protection of God. Really? You're a false teacher. I should leave. I need to run now. I need to go. That's the attitude we should have. Amen. They're presumptuous. They're so arrogant. Number 7. Look at that. How many are impressed? We're going to get to 10 today, maybe. Here we go. Number 7. They're self-willed. And self-willed means to be self-pleasing or strong in one's own will. They're self-willed. It's got to be their way. It's got to be what they want. It's got to be how they think it should be. And Lord forbid you use scripture against them. Now you're attacking and you're the problem. And there used to be, and I think there still is to a degree, there's pastors that will attack you if you even question anything about them or what they're doing or their teaching. They'll attack. And it shouldn't be that way, right? Because, listen, we need to be kept in check as well, amen? And listen, I have people that come up to me all the time and go, Pastor, you misspoke when you said this. I had somebody on a Wednesday night come up and go, Pastor, you said this and that's not right. And I said, man, you research it, I'll research it, and next week I'll correct it. And the following week, I corrected it. I was like, hey, guys, listen, I misspoke. It was brought to my attention. Please forgive me. This is what I said, and I was wrong. Isn't that how it should be? Amen? And so these guys, they're self-willed. Verse 10. Look here in verse 10. It says, and especially, by the way, we're in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 10. And especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. They're presumptuous. They're self-willed. They're not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. And so, guys, we have to be so careful because that is our next point is number 8. They speak evil of dignitaries. And again, they're so arrogant. That did I double that one up? Hold on a minute. No, they despise authority. Okay. They speak evil of dignitaries. Look here and really what it means is they feel that they're better than others. Look here in Romans 12:3. Did I give you guys that one? For I say, through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Guys, we're not to think we're somebody special. I'm just telling you, man, before I get up here and preach, man, I'm begging God, God, get me out of the way. God, forgive me. God, if there's anything unclean in my life, God, please forgive me of that. Speak through me. Give me the power to speak clearly. Give me, I mean, I'm when I stand up here, I am praying the majority of the time. I pray before I come in. I pray before I come to church. I pray before I come into this room. I pray before I come up here. I'm telling you, we need God, right? Because otherwise, if not, here's what happens. We start thinking more highly of us than we ought to think. And there's so many pastors that do that. They feel like, I'm the pastor. How dare you? It's like, wait a minute. You need to lead your flock properly. And the pastor that challenged me on my words that I used, and his last thing was, because I said, you and I both know what those words mean. And then his response was, at the very end, the last thing he said was, oh, and I don't know that. And I said, I responded with, oh, please forgive me for assuming that you kept up with current events so you can protect your flock. You understand what I'm saying? God, I'm just saying we shouldn't think more highly than we ought to think. And we protect our minds and we protect our eyes and our ears and our heart and we surrender to the things of God. And we surrender to the truth even when we don't like that truth. Listen, there's so many things that the Bible says when I read it and I'm like, oh, Lord, that one, like, that was, ooh, that's going to leave a bruise. Amen? Anybody else? And then we surrender to that. We submit to that. And these false teachers, they won't submit to it. And they think they're something or somebody they're not. Number 9. Yeah, somebody went, ooh, we're rolling. I came in with the attitude, let's get done. Number 9, they speak evil of the things they do not understand. Look here in verse 12. But these, like natural brute beasts made to be caught and destroyed. Wow, that is not kind to anyone, is it? That's a false teacher. And remember, this whole passage is about false teachers. Speak evil of things they do not understand, and will utterly perish in their own corruption. That's what some people do. Amen. They instead of taking the time to research, to study, to understand, to investigate, to figure it out. They have this idea in their mind, which is usually their way, which is what we talked about just this last point, right? With point number 8. And it's their way or no way. And I can show people through scripture. Listen, right here. I was dealing with a person who was committing adultery and leaving their spouse. And I said, stop. What you're doing is wrong. To which the response was, God wants me happy. So I responded, God doesn't care about your happiness. He could give two rips less about it. God cares about your holiness. And when your happiness violates your holiness, you're going against God and you need to stop. But when they don't understand, because they're so consumed with having it their way, they don't care about the Word of God. And then what do we have? We have false teachers. Listen, by the way, it's not just pastors that are false teachers. Look around. Anybody that's promoting lies is a false teacher, amen? Is a false prophet is they, because they're not telling truth. And so they don't understand it, and so therefore anybody that corrects them, they will mock, diminish, right? I mean, attack. And these are what false teachers do. Look here at number 10. They are spots and blemishes. Verse 13. If you have your Bible, look in verse 13. And it says, and will receive the wages of unrighteousness as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes. And spots literally means unwanted, ugly stains. I'll give you an example. How many here you have you've had on a white or light colored shirt, and then you get spaghetti sauce on it, or you get chocolate ice cream on it? Listen, my wife, you can buy my wife the finest apparel and give her a chocolate ice cream cone, and she will have spots with chocolate ice cream. Amen. Man, I remember I had on this shirt. It was really a nice shirt. I went down to New York City. I was visiting a church down there. This was a couple of years ago. And they're like, hey, John, I want to take you to this really good place to eat. And I was like, I'm in. And so I get there, and I have this thing that I do where especially if I'm in a different restaurant and not a, you know, like a mom and pop shop. When I go in, I will tell the waitress, she's like, what will you have? I said, whatever you bring me. You know what is the best thing on the menu, bring the best thing on the menu. And I said, and besides that, Ron's paying for it. Bring it. Of course, Ron just looks at me. Ron Taylor, you guys know who Ron Taylor is, our missionary to New York City that we support. So I sat there and I had on this brighter orange than this. It was almost glow in the dark orange. Because I like orange, yeah, safety. And it was also one of them shirts that are, they wick, you know what I'm saying? Like that material that just doesn't hold moisture, but they hold stains. And she brings me out this steak. Now, in my heart of hearts, I fell in love with her. I'm like, yes. Meanwhile, these other guys are eating noodles. I got steak. And so I went to cut it, and I can't remember if I picked it up or moved it or whatever. At any rate, it when I did, it fell into the juice. And I looked down, I was like, you've got to be kidding me. So now everywhere we went for the rest of the day, you could tell I'm a slob. And just like it showed everywhere, right? These are spots, man. They're unwanted, ugly stains. Yes, it was worth it. And they're blemishes, which literally, figuratively means a disgraceful person. So these people are unwanted stains and a disgrace. That's what false teachers are, according to Peter in the Word of God. And so, look, and I'm going to tell you how much we don't want it. If you go to buy a piece of furniture, or you go to buy a carpet, and you go, you know, how many buy it with, you're like, oh, let me look for stains. That's what I want. Right? No, you want the finest. Amen. You go to buy a used car, you open a door, and all you see is these nasty stains on the seat. You don't even want to sit down. You're like, nah, I'm not interested. Why? Because we don't want that. And God says, spiritually speaking, he doesn't want it either. And yet that's what these false teachers are. They're those ugly seat covers, and they're the chocolate stains on a white shirt, and they're the steak juice on a beautiful orange shirt. I mean, it's just as ugly, and it's not wanted. And it's such a contrast to Paul's description of the church. Ephesians 5:27. Did I give you guys that one? That he might present her to himself, a glorious church, not having any spot. Not having any spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she, the church, us, God's children, should be holy and without blemish. Guys, look what we're supposed to be. And false teachers, according to Peter, is exact opposite of that. And so as a Christian, and guys, this is so, so important that we understand that we are different than the world. We think different than the world. We act different than the world. We dress different than the world. Why? Because if you are a child of God, you are different from the world. And if you're not different, then you're of the world. You're not of Christ. Guys, we have, I'm telling you, today in the society that we live in churches that are out there today, I was talking to someone who comes to this church. Well, Shane, I'm throwing you under the bus, buddy. Yeah. So I was talking to Shane and Shane was telling, cause we were going through the membership class this morning. And I was talking about being a church that educates. Right? I want to be a pastor that educates the flock. Amen? And he was telling me for 7 months, Shane, 8 months, from what month to month? Tell me again. From March to August? November to August. From November to August, he went to, every week he was going to different churches in the capital region, because his life was a shambles because he was an idiot making really poor decisions. And he loves me. And so, at any rate, I said was. Understand was. And so people are like, don't ever talk about me, Pastor. And yet he was sharing how he was going to all these churches and nobody would speak to him. They definitely wouldn't give him a hug. They weren't preaching truth. They weren't giving invitations. They were feel good. He's like, I walked out of there going, what did I just do? How did I just throw away all this time? And he's like, literally for months, you just heard him, November to August, he was going to all these different churches and that's what they were doing. They weren't even preaching the gospel. It was all feel good stuff. And then he comes to Connecting Point Church. Let me just say this right up front. It's a sorry dog that don't wag his own tail. So he comes to Connecting Point Church. And he said, I got like 30 hugs when I came in the door. And that's before I even seen you, Pastor. Amen. Right? This is good. And then he says, then I hear actual scripture. And then you call me out. You give me opportunity. You tell me how I can be saved. He said, I went to all these churches and I never got any of that. And that's in our capital region. Think about that just for a second, guys. These opportunities that we have to share and preach the word of God, to give truth because we're living in them. We have false teachers everywhere. They're all among us. They're the zombies and the mummies and the, like we're in the apocalypse or something. They're all among us. They're like the fungus that's among us. I'm just saying. The word of God doesn't use fungus, but he uses spot and blemish. That's pretty close. Amen? Amen. And so he says, listen, the church, the believer, the body of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, the Jesus that is mentioned in John chapter 1, that without him nothing was made. The Word, he's the Word and he's God. And then when we read about in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, when it says that without him, nothing was made and everything was made by him and for him. This is the Jesus I'm talking about. I'm talking about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Let's not mistaken who I'm referencing. Jesus, the God of the Bible. Jesus, the Savior of the world. Jesus, the only way to heaven. Jesus, who died on the cross for your sins and mine. Jesus, who said, I love you so much, I'm going to give you an opportunity and a way to heaven. This is the Jesus that I'm talking about. And he says, he died for us so that we could be beautiful, without spot, without blemish, without stain, bringing him glory, not making it about ourselves, not being it's all about me attitude, but that we should be holy and without blemish, meaning that we should have the attitude of Jesus, the mind of Jesus, the effort of winning souls that Jesus had. We should resist sin. It doesn't mean we're going to be perfect. What it means is we're going to do all we can to not be unperfect. Is unperfect a word? It is now. But this is what we should be. And so the attitude of the false teacher of number 10 is they are spots and blemishes. Guys, we should be the exact opposite of spots and blemishes. And spots are ugly stains, and blemishes is not a good person. That's what we should be. Number 11, they carouse in their own deceptions. Look here in verse 13, the bottom half of it. Carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you. Peter is saying, listen, man, they're sinful and they're ugly and they're living this life of sin right in front of you while they're with you like they're holy and they're right. And they're a false teacher. And what really grabs me sometimes is when I point out the false teaching of these superstar aliens, and you get upset because I point them out. You get mad at me. Because I say, hey, listen, they're living this life, they're doing these things, and they're a false teacher, and they're lying to you. And then you've never met them, you've never seen them other than on TV. I've been to your home, I've been to the hospital to visit you, I've been done your weddings, I've been there when your children were born, I've been there when you had a death in the family, I've been there and loved you through it all. And then you'll get mad at me and walk away from me to accept them. And I am just like befuddled with this. Because it's like, wait a minute. They're carousing in their own deceptions. And Peter states that people count it pleasure to riot or to carouse in the daytime. And they carouse in their own deceptions right there while they're with us. And if you look at the world, guys, just for a minute, the deceptions that are going on, I talked about this last week too, but you have men that are dressing up as women. And even the churches today, supposed Christians are going, that's okay. That's their identity. Or you have women who are dressing as men and they're doing the same thing. And we're like, listen, we got to love them all. Yeah, love them, but don't accept them. Can't do it. And then we have, okay, anyone hear the latest? If you keep up with sports, the golfing. So there's a man that went out and he's a man and he goes out and he's presenting himself as a woman and so he's golfing. And guess what? He won the championship. Where is the surprise in that? So my point is, guys, when we're talking about this, they carouse in their own deceptions in front of us, and the church is accepting this. Are you crazy? And so we have to be so careful because sin is deceptive. Guys, let me preach, and you guys quit talking, please. And so Jesus warned us about this in the parable of the sower in Mark 4:19. Did I give you that verse? All right, I'll read it. Don't worry about it, guys. Mark 4:19, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things entering in, choke the word, and then the word becomes unfruitful. And so, guys, you can't fall into the world because the world is choking the word of God out and it's becoming unfruitful. And then Hebrews instructs us in Hebrews 3:13. And there you go. But exhort one another daily. while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And guys, this world is hardening your hearts. You may not even recognize it right now. You may not even understand it or see it, but I'm telling you, the world is hardening your hearts because they're changing the definitions of words. And so what do? You Google it. And you're like, oh no, this is what it means. And it's like, no. That's what it means to them today, but that's not actually what it really means. I was talking to a same-sex couple, and I said, they were like, why are you so against our relationship? And I said, because the Bible says that what you're doing is an abomination to God. It's an abomination. And they're like, oh, no. Listen, you have twisted up that word. That is not what it meant back then. And I went, really? You want to help me understand what it meant back then? Let's research it. And so I have dictionaries in my office that are Webster's original dictionary. And Webster puts in there, here's the crazy thing. When Webster originally did his dictionary, he would put in there the definition of a word, and then he would put a verse after the definition to proclaim the truth of that definition. That's what he did. Of course, you won't find that today, but that's what he did. And so what did I do? I went back to my office. I opened it up. I found the word, took a picture, sent it with the Webster's dictionary and the date of it. And I said, see, this is what it's always meant. It's an abomination. It goes against God. But through the lies and the deceitfulness of the world, the church is believing it. And so here's the crazy thing. The craziest part about all of that is even the Christians are getting drawn into it and believing it. Well, all people need to be loved. Yep. God says he loves them. That's taken care of. And so, guys, we have to be so, so careful. And why do you think homosexuality is on every TV show? It's to numb you. It's Novocaine to put in so you don't have no feeling while they're cutting you spiritually. Why do you think they're not teaching things in school today? That is history. American, you know, they don't teach American history in school anymore. Did you guys know that? As a matter of fact, they don't teach a whole bunch of stuff in school today. And you know why they don't teach it? It's because if they teach it, you would know truth. That's why they don't want the word of God in there. They only want evolution in there. Why? Because if they taught the word of God and how we really came about, then the world would be different and the kids would be different. You can't brainwash children by telling them the truth. Why do you think when you see people sending their kids off to college, and when they come, they can go in conservative, and they come out libtards off the chart? Why do you think that happens? Because of the brainwashing. Guys, I'm telling you, there is deceitfulness of sin, and we're in the end times, and the world is taking us over, and it's dominating, and it's destroying. And I am going to pull up one thing here real quick before I say it. Do me a favor, pull up Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 and 16. Just pull that up for me. Because, guys, I want you to see something. When we're talking about you're hardened through the deceitfulness of sin, we're warned about this throughout Scripture. And Ephesians 5, 15 and 16 says this. See then that you walk circumspectly. That means you walk upright and right in the way you're going, and holy, righteous, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And so, guys, what do we got to do so that we're not deceived? We got to know the word. We got to read the word of God, know the word of God, walk the word of God, live the word of God, share the word of God. Everything's got to be about the word of God. And what do we do today? We're like, hey, you can't use the word of God and shove it down people's throat. It's like, are you kidding me? Choke them with life. Instead, we're being deceived. We're being deceived from their own deceptions. Number 12. Their eyes are full of adultery. The seventh commandment is Exodus 20, verse 14. You shall not commit adultery. And then Jesus says in Matthew 5, 28, did I give you guys that one? Okay, don't worry about it. He says, whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. That's Matthew 5, 28. And so, guys, if you are lusting after something, you're committing adultery against God. Understand the difference. Like in this, he's very specific between, like, if you look at a woman, men, and you lust for her, you've already committed adultery in your heart. Ladies, if you're looking at a man and you lust for him, you've already committed adultery in your heart. It's the same for both, right? But the reality is, when you look at other gods, you're committing adultery against God. And James tells us about that. He says, you adulterers and adulteresses is what he calls us. Why? Because when he wrote in James, he was referencing back to you. You are lusting after the world. You're having an affair with the world. And therefore, if you're a child of God, you're committing adultery against God. Amen? And don't show of hands and don't say anything out loud. But in your heart of hearts, what are you committing adultery with against God? That's real. That's real. And I'm just going to tell you that adulterous affair gets in the way of your prayers being answered. That adulterous affair clouds your mind of right thinking and clouds your heart of right doing. That affair gets in the way and is destroying you. That's what the scriptures say. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived and understand that a false teacher that's living in the flesh, he has his eyes full of adultery, but that goes the same for us as well. That goes the same for us. If we're living in the flesh, that's because our eyes are full of adultery. We're having an affair against God. That's why some of you don't read the Bible, but you will spend massive amounts of time on social media. Why? Because you're having an affair with God or with them against God. I can't come to church because I got to work, 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 work. You're having an affair with work against God. I can't do this. I can't do that. That has to do with God. And you can't do it because everything else is in the way. You're having an affair with whatever that is. You're an adulterer or an adulteress having an affair against God. Whatever it is. And you say, oh, it's just a little thing. No, it is an affair. That's like a woman catching her husband having an affair and he's like, it didn't mean anything. It's like, are you kidding me? It's an affair. It's adultery. And yet, if we're not careful, we do the exact same thing. And we have to be ever so careful. Number 13. Yeah, you guys didn't think I was going to roll through this. I know. Every time I go to the next point, you're like, I'm impressed. So am I. Here we go. Number 13, their eyes never cease from sinning. Verse 14, having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin. Here's the difference, because some of you struggle with looking at things you shouldn't look at. Got it. Remember, we're talking about false teachers, because some of us, we struggle looking at things. Amen. But look at the difference between you struggling and trying not to and trying to do right. Amen. Because listen, we struggle, but as long as we don't stay in it, it's like looking at a beautiful woman, guys, or ladies, you look at an attractive man and you're like, you see them, you're like, oh. And in your mind, you're like, Lord, you did really good there. Amen. You guys know what I'm saying, right? That wasn't sin. Look, the first look is free. The first look is like, and now wait a minute. I said look, not gawk or stare. There's a difference, right? You can't hold it but a moment. Any longer than that, you guys are you're starting in down that road you shouldn't. So the first look is like, oh Lord, you did good. Amen. There's nothing sinful about that. But when you go, oh Lord. Now you see what I'm saying? Amen. You guys got the picture? That's when you cross the line. And you're like, yeah, but I didn't see clearly first time. Listen, when you said, Lord, you did good, you saw clearly the first time. Don't kid yourself, right? Your eyes never cease from sinning. You see things, you got to have things. And of course, Jesus, First John 2:16, John warns us about the sin of loving the world. And it says this, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Now keep that right there, guys. Let me help you out just real quick. I've said it before, but we're going to say it again just because every now and then it's good to be reminded. Amen. For all that is in the world, remember in Matthew chapter 4, verses, I think 1 through 11, where it talks about Jesus being in the wilderness and being tempted. And then if you go and it says in Hebrews, and it says that Jesus was tempted in all ways that we are, yet without sin. Okay, let me help you here. The all ways is the ways, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Remember what Satan said? Hey, if you're the Son of God, turn those stone into bread. All right, there's none of you here that can turn stone into bread. Now you can turn bread into stone, but you cannot do it the other way around. That was what? Lust of the flesh. He was hungry. And then you see lust of the eyes. He took him up on a mountain and he said, look, everything you see, I'll give to you. Lust of the eyes, right? And then we have the pride of life. Listen, if you are the Son of God, jump off this mountain, 10,000 legions of angels will come and they'll save you and spare you from landing on the ground. So if you're the Son of God, jump. Three ways to sin. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life. Now, let me tell you this. Those are the only three ways that you can sin. So we put those three things up here, and then everything falls in line with one of those three. Homosexuality is lust of the flesh. Look at me. Pride of life. Look what I have. Pride of life. Look how much money I make. Pride of life. Look what I drive. Pride of life. Look where I live. Pride of life. Alcoholism. Drunkenness, we'll call it. Drug abuse. Adultery. Lust of the flesh. But let me tell you what starts it all. When your heart's not right, lust of the eyes feed the soul. And everything else will flow from that or feed that. Amen? So when people think, oh, well, Jesus was tempted with homosexuality. No, he was not. He was tempted with turn stone into bread if you're hungry. Lust of the flesh. Well, Jesus was tempted with drunkenness. No, he was not. Well, Jesus was tempted with... No, he was not. This is what he was tempted with. These three ways he was tempted. And then Matthew chapter 4 tells us, did I say 11 before? My apologies. Matthew chapter 4, 1 through 11 tells us how he was tempted and with what? very specific. And so people, they justify their sin and try to drag Jesus in it. And we can't do that, guys. Number 14, and this will be my last point. They entice unstable souls. The Greek word for entice is deliazo, and it means to allure, entrap, or delude. And guys, let's be honest, sin does entice us, amen? And it promises us life, but it's just a momentary pleasure. And then ultimately, it always leads to death. Romans 6:23. Did I give you that one? There we go. For the wages of sin is death. Guys, all this sin that we're talking about and all these ways of life and all this false belief and these false teachers that teach the false belief and all that, guys, it leads to one thing, death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. If you have Jesus and you are up to date on your relationship, meaning that you have kept it, pure and holy and right and righteous, we have life. We also have deliverance from the pain and suffering of sin. But if you are weak, if you are weak-hearted in Jesus, if you are weak-minded in the scriptures, if you are weak, then you become prey. You become prey. And Satan will consume you. James says in chapter 1 that if you're not right with God, you're unstable. If you doubt the things of God, the Word of God, you're unstable. And unstable, the Bible says, like the waves of the sea, you are unstable in all of your ways. And that is what they prey on. Desperate, weak people. And as children of God, we ought not be that. Amen? All right, guys. I will pick up on verse 15 next week. The goal is to finish it next week. The goal. But today, you got to understand this. The only way that we won't be deceived by false teachers is if you know the Word of God. You believe the Word of God. And then you live the Word of God. What good is it to believe but not practice? It's like going hunting and you take a rifle with you, but you don't put bullets in it. What good is it? It's like planning a trip, but you don't pack the car and fill the gas tank. How far do you think you're going to go? It's like buying an electric car in 6-degree weather and thinking it's going to run. Fun fact, AAA put out a thing 2 days ago. They had, in 3 days, they had 8,400 tows in 3 days. Every one of them electric cars. Would not start because they couldn't charge them. Off the chart means nothing. Here we go. Listen to this, guys. What good is it to invest in that which will not survive? May we ever be so cautious in what we allow ourselves to get involved in and to believe in. And if it ever goes contrary to the Word of God, even one word of it is contrary to the Word of God, run. 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 Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for today. Father, thank you for your word, your promises. Father, thank you for the clarity that you give us. Father, thank you that you love us so much that you don't want us going astray. Father, you don't want us doing that which opposes you. Father, you don't want us to hurt ourselves. Father, you want to strengthen us and prepare us for the world and the storms that are in it. Because, Father, even though we're not of the world, we have to walk in the world. But, Father, we do not have to participate in the things that the world chooses to do. Father, give us clarity, give us strength, give us endurance to stand right with you. Father, help us to not get caught up in the glitz and the glamour and the false teaching that's going on, Father. Help us to not have tickling ears, Lord, to justify our sin, but to repent and to fall on our face when we read your word and see that our life is not lining up with it, but our life is contrary to your word, Father, that we would submit to you because your word has so pierced our heart. Father, use us. Use us in great and mighty ways to teach the world these truths wherever you open a door and allow us in. And Father, may the world hear truth and be saved. With every head bowed, if you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you wish to give your life to Jesus, which is your only hope in understanding false teaching and not getting caught up in it. It's your only hope in getting to heaven. Your belief in Jesus, because he is the only way. And so if it's your desire to give your life to Christ and you pray this prayer, understand the words mean nothing. The words are a simple road map and a time stamp where you said, this was the day that I, on purpose, with all of my heart, gave my life to Jesus Christ. And if that's your desire, then you quietly pray this prayer to the Lord. Jesus, today I surrender. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you can keep me from heresies and from lies and from deceit and from sin. And I believe you are the only one that can do that. And so today I put all of my belief in you as my Lord and Savior. Jesus, today I surrender all of my sin at the foot of the cross. Today I ask you to forgive me, and today I repent. I will no longer walk in the way of the world, but I will walk in the way of your word. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you prayed that prayer this morning and you meant it with all of your heart because you believe that it's the absolute truth, and so today you gave your life to Jesus Christ,